last Sunday evening, and if you were here last Sunday evening, I said that I was going to take a second Sunday and spend a little bit more time, especially on verses 8 through 11 of 1 Corinthians 12. And you notice, in fact, your Bible may have a little heading at the top of 1 Corinthians 12 about the use of spiritual gifts. And really, what we're thinking about this evening is spending a little bit more time talking about discovering and using our spiritual gifts. Now, I think one of the things that, and I maybe mentioned this in the prayer a few moments ago, but sometimes we don't use our gifts because we're just not being faithful to use our gifts. But I think that a lot of the time people are really struggling with this question, what are my spiritual gifts? And sometimes people, we typically will ask people when they join the church, where do you think you're really gifted to serve? And in some ways that is a what are your spiritual gifts type question. And very often what people say basically boils down to, well, you know, I'm kind of willing to do whatever I'm asked. I want to help out where I can, but I'm not exactly sure what I'm good at. I'm not exactly sure I know what my spiritual gifts are. And yet the Bible tells us that all of us have spiritual gifts. Some people might be more gifted and more broadly gifted than others, but all of us have spiritual gifts. And so what are those spiritual gifts, and how do we discover them, and how do we use those gifts in the context of the local body? And we're going to look really at three passages quickly this evening and then unpack those a little bit. And tonight's sermon will be a lot of application, not just spending the whole time discussing what words mean and what gifts are, but then how do we discover those. But hear now the reading of God's Word as we begin in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. Now, if you want to take your Bibles and flip back a book to the book of Romans, look now at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 4, we see Paul giving another elaboration on gifts. And picking up in Romans 12, I'm going to begin, I guess, in verse 6. He says this, "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." So Paul's given two different lists of gifts, but there's another apostle that touches on gifts, but he does it much more briefly and much more succinctly. You don't even have to turn there. It's in 1 Peter 4 in verse 11. Peter just covers it in a verse and really just with sort of two headings. "Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that Your Word is sufficient and that Your Word is true and that it guides us not only to understand who You are, but how we might serve You. And so teach us more this evening, Father, about how we might serve You so that Christ would be lifted up, for whom we pray. Amen. going to do something I don't normally do. I'm going to say, kill the mic, because I do not want to know what's going on with it, the mic that's pinned on me, and go back to the pulpit mic. Thanks. Sorry about that. Because something's making some noise. If we flip back and we think about 1 Corinthians 12, you notice that, just kind of recapping all of what we've just read, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says there are a number of gifts. One is the word of wisdom. Another is the word of knowledge. Another is faith. Another is healing. Another is miracles. Another is prophecy. Another is discernment. Another is tongues. Another is interpretation. When we look at Romans 12, it overlaps somewhat. And remember, none of these lists are intended to be exhaustive, but we sort of have certain categories again covered. Romans 12, prophecy, service, teaching, encouragement, giving, leading, mercy. 1 Peter 4 is the most succinct, and I think that this is where we get our categories. They're speaking gifts and serving gifts. And really, most broadly, we can understand the gifts that God gives the body of Christ to be speaking gifts and serving gifts. Now, here's the issue. Not do you know what your gifts are, necessarily, but are you doing all you can to discover and develop and use your God-given gifts? If you're a Christian and a member of the body of Christ, are you doing all you can to discover, develop, and use your God-given gifts? And again, it helps, you know, sometimes it helps us to sort of boil things down into categories. There's sort of two categories of gifts. There are speaking gifts, and there are serving gifts. And if we were to take those gifts from both 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, think for a moment about the different types of speaking gifts. On one hand, there is prophecy. Now, prophecy is literally one who, a prophet most literally was one who stood in front of another and spoke for him. An example would be Aaron and Moses. Remember when God calls Moses to go to Pharaoh, Moses says, I'm slow of speech, I'm not going to be any good at that. He says, I'm going to send Aaron, and Aaron's going to be with you. And you can almost picture Moses standing there, and then Aaron beside him, or maybe stepping forward in front of Moses to address Pharaoh and speak to him the words that God had given Moses that he then gave to Aaron to then speak to Pharaoh. And so a prophet was someone who spoke for someone else. And then there are gifts of teaching. And again, teaching is instruction. And there are those with the gift of the word of knowledge. You know, the person who's able to understand and apply the Scriptures. And then the one with the word of wisdom. And now the focus maybe becomes even more on application to understand this is what's going on and this is what this passage means. But here's how it applies in my life and here's how it applies in your life. Somebody who really is able to press home the application. And then there might be those with the gift of exhortation or encouragement. And those who are gifted at coming alongside of someone else and encouraging them and helping them when they might be struggling, when they might really need somebody beside them helping them. Another word that could be used in translation is an advocate, which is the word that used to be used for an attorney. Now think about it. If you're really in trouble, what does an attorney do? You're going to walk into the courtroom and you're going to be at that table at the front of the courtroom, and you're going to be looking at the judge elevated in front of you at the bench, and beside you is going to be your advocate, your counselor, your attorney, your lawyer. And he's going to help you. He's going to give you guidance, or she's going to direct you through this process and help you know, you know, here's what you need to explain. Here's what you need to make sure you don't say. And so they're going to come alongside of you and help you in a hard situation. And a good example of that in the Scriptures is Barnabas in the New Testament. He's called a son of encouragement. And one commentator says he's probably the one who came alongside of John Mark when John Mark had kind of blown it in some ways. He'd sort of wanted to take the easy way out. He'd wanted to minister where it was familiar and fun and not go minister in areas that were going to take him beyond his comfort zone in ways that he didn't want to go. And so much so that Paul was really frustrated with John Mark and discouraged by John Mark and thought John Mark had disqualified himself from continuing to serve.
And yet Barnabas comes along and encourages. And in fact goes with John Mark, or takes John Mark with him. And they continue to go on in ministry. And then there might be another who has the gift of discernment, the ability to kind of understand what something means or where a particular train of thought is going to ultimately end up going, or whether or not someone is really truly speaking according to the Scriptures or contradicting the Scriptures. And so there are all of these different kinds of speaking gifts. And then there are the serving gifts. You probably could put faith in a speaking gift or a serving gift, but one commentator said this: the gift of faith was probably those that were given an extraordinary measure of faith that enabled them to confess Christ when it even resulted in their martyrdom. And there might be others that are extraordinarily gifted to trust and believe God to do what He said He's going to do, when there are a lot of reasons why that we have in ourselves and that we can see around us to doubt that that will ever work. And then, again, there were those that were given gifts of healing. There were also those that were given gifts of giving. And these are people that were gifted to give. Now, He's not saying they're rich, but He's saying they have the gift of giving. And then others, we don't think of this as a spiritual gift often, is leading. You know, I remember hearing a pastor friend of mine that was heading a denominational agency years ago, and he said, you know, one of the things for which we need money is administration. But nobody wants to give money for administration. People want to give money for what they consider to be ministry. And yet, administration is ministry. And sometimes ministry, or administration can be ministry, and especially as ministry grows, ministry needs leadership, management, rule, administration. And one commentator said that probably these things were especially necessary in the early church because there were a lot of things that the church was looking around and realizing that's not being done, and so we need to do it. There are children being abandoned on the garbage heap, so we need to take care of them. There are people that are sick, so we need to take care of them. There are people that are destitute and impoverished. And again, remember, there was no welfare state 2,000 years ago. And so the church was seeing these needs and recognizing that there was a need to minister to people, to care and provide for their physical needs. As one commentator put it, the church probably had a lot of volunteer committees functioning in that day because there were so many areas in culture in which the church was seeking to serve, seeking to minister. Some are, all of us are called to serve, but some are called to lead in service. That's probably one good definition of a deacon, is those who lead in service, those who lead in service to physical needs. Now, let me just say real quickly, some of these things would not function today in the same way that they did back then, but in principle, we still learn from the principle. So let me give a couple of examples. One would be prophecy. We don't have people that are still speaking, thus saith the Lord, and being given a new word from the Lord that's not already there. And let me just pose to you, if you think that that's still going on, then we need to have a lot of blank pages in the back of our Bibles, and we need to be filling those in. But the Scriptures are complete. The canon is closed. God has given us His Word, so we don't have prophecy in the way that we did. We wouldn't have tongues in the way that we saw in the apostolic era. And again, tongues showed the presence of the Spirit. They showed the gospel going forth to every tongue and tribe and nation. And yet, we still have those who speak, thus saith the Lord. Those who open and preach the Word of God, those who teach the Word of God. We still speak, in a sense, we speak on God's behalf as we speak and we explain and we apply His Word. And we still labor to see the gospel go forth to every tongue and tribe and nation. And so those principles still apply. But here's the question. Are you doing all you can to discover, develop, and use your God-given gifts? Are your gifts along the lines of preaching or teaching? Are you good at understanding what the Scriptures say and what they mean, and then insightful in knowing how to apply those to people's lives? Do you love to study the Scriptures, and do you find yourself very naturally finding applications for yourself and for others as you read and study the Word of God? Are you gifted to encourage? Are you an encourager? You know, some people are good at telling you what the Bible says and what it means and what you need to do with that, but they're not very encouraging in the way that they... I asked our local New Testament scholar this past week, could encouragement be sort of the drill sergeant type of encouragement? It's sort of the fussing at people and barking at them, telling them what they need to do. And he kind of nicely said, I'd never really understood it that way, no. That's probably not what it means. So an encourager, maybe you're gifted to come alongside of people, and especially people that are struggling, and especially people that maybe aren't doing well, or they're questioning whether or not they really are going to be able to be faithful to God in an area, or they're discouraged because they don't feel that they have been, or they tend to be much more preoccupied. They're glass half empty kind of people. They're pessimists, who call themselves realists, by the way. But you know, they just look at the negative side of things, and maybe you're gifted to come alongside of people that are discouraged or struggling and encourage them in their walk with Christ and their service to Him. Maybe you're one of those people that has the discernment to see where a train of thought or a pattern of life is gonna lead in the long run. You know, one of the old guys that when I did Southern Presbyterian history, when I was in seminary, one of the fellows that to me was just, it was scary how on he was Robert Louis Dabney. You know, he was someone that was able to see where something was going to end up a century down the road, not just a week or a month down the road. Maybe God has gifted you with discernment. And, you know, probably this category of gifts is especially needed by teaching and ruling elders. Whether it's teaching elders that stand up and proclaim, this is what God's Word says, and some in our midst are ordained or will be ordained as teaching elders, but even others of us that serve as elders, as we teach Sunday school classes or as we come alongside of people one-on-one, we seek to encourage them to be faithful in their walk with Christ as we work to show them, well, this is what the Scripture says and this is how it speaks to your situation, to rebuke you or to encourage you or whatever it might be. These gifts are especially needed by those who serve in the office of elder, but also teachers that are not ordained. You know, teachers that are teaching a Sunday school class or leading a men's Bible study or a ladies' Bible study or working with children's instruction. You know, these are gifts that are needed in the body of Christ. Now, keep in mind, most people are not equally strong in all of them. Some people might be very good at, say, for example, knowledge and wisdom, but weak on encouragement. Some people are very encouraging, though they might not be the people that would explain the application of something as thoroughly as someone else might do. And yet God has placed all of us in the body to use us together as members of the body. And it's not just, you know, sometimes I think the things that get a lot of recognition are the teaching gifts, but the serving gifts are no less important. And think about what those serving gifts might be. One serving gift might be giving. Maybe God's gifted you to give. You have a heart to give, and you somehow or another... Now, it might be that He's gifted you with great resources, so you're able to give quite a bit. Or it might be that God has just given you a great heart to do it, and somehow or another, nobody in the world could ever figure out mathematically how you could have as little as you do and give as much as you do. But that's a gift of the Lord. It might be mercy, coming alongside of someone who's struggling and relieving their burdens. And again, remember, mercy is mercy. Mercy is not giving what's due. You know, sometimes I think part of our struggle with mercy ministry is we're wondering, well, you know, does this person really deserve it? Well, in an ultimate sense, none of us deserve mercy, and yet God calls us to be merciful. It might be administration. You know, two examples. I can remember a ministry years ago that languished because of administrative problems. I mean, those in a position of administration were just not, they were gifted in other ways, but administratively it was really struggling, and so it was creating problems throughout the ministry. Maybe you're gifted in administration. And on the other hand, it's, sometimes the administrator, if I can use that term for a moment, the administrator is used in a broader way that benefits the whole body, even though the administration is sort of behind the scenes. I heard something a while back. Somebody told me about a pastor who'd been at a church for some period of time, but one of the places where he really struggled, he just was not an administrator. Good preacher, good teacher, not an administrator. And so at some point, he left that church and he went to another church, and someone from that first church didn't know he was at the other church, went and visited and was talking to somebody and said, he used to be a pastor at our church and really, good preacher. And the person said, yeah, he really is. And then someone said, but the first person said, but he's not a real great administrator. And the other person said, oh, we know that. That's why we have that other guy over there. Because his task is to preach and teach. And on the other hand, there's this other person that has great gifts in administration. And so the Lord uses all of those things in the life of the body. Are you doing all that you can to discover, develop, and use your God-given gifts? Well, then the next question that kind of flows out of that is, how do I discover them? Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, I understand that we got gifts. I understand God uses all of them, but I don't know what mine are, and I don't know how to begin to discover them. Well, I would say the first thing is this with regard to discovering your gifts. You have to be convicted that you need to be using your gifts. Now, maybe you're saying, wait a minute, I don't know what they are yet, so how can I be convicted I need to use them? Well, first you need to be convicted that you need to be using them, because if you're convicted that you need to be using them, then you'll say, I got to find out what they are, because I can't just do nothing. I can't just not use my gifts. I need to be using my gifts, so I need to get busy figuring out what those gifts are. And it won't do for us to say, well, you know, I'd use them, but I'm just too busy to use my gifts. Now, just stop for a minute. My daughter reminded me when we pulled into the parking lot today, the Winston Churchill quote, those who are ignorant of history are doomed to repeat it. So here's the history of the Church of God. Remember the history of the people of God and the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It could be argued that throughout the history of the Christian Church, most of the saints have been slaves, peasants, farmers, factory workers, or businessmen. That means they've all been busy. We've all been busy. God's people have been busy for the last 2,000 years. We all have families. We all have jobs. We all have studies. Those things never end. Those things just never, ever end. You know, we often think, you know, when I get to the next stage in life, then it will be less busy. I always find it entertaining when a high school student says, I'll be glad when I get to college and it's not as busy. And then I always find it funny when a college student says, well, you know, I guess if I were out working, I'd have the time to do that, but I just don't have the time right now because I'm a college student. I mean, we all tend to think that we'll not be as busy later, but we're all busy. We've got families, jobs, studies. It never ends. But in the midst of all that, are you doing all you can to discover, develop, and use your God-given gifts? And what that means is, are you attending the worship of God's people and the services of God's people? And then are you working to use your gifts to serve in the context of Christ's body? And I think these are some shifts that people have noted have been going on for a few decades now. But again, just to summarize them, people were noting decades ago that people were shifting from a mindset of service to consumption. From a mindset of where do I serve in the body of Christ to where do I find a local manifestation of the body of Christ that will serve my needs. And then in more recent years, there's been an increasing trend and a number of people have noted this, to avoid commitment, to participate selectively, but then largely to spend our energies elsewhere. And probably today, that spending our energies elsewhere is, we work hard at play, even worship it. And as a pastor friend of mine said to me a week or two ago, we idolize not just our children, but their activities. And so we live in a culture now where we're, it's not that we're not busy, but we're pouring our energies out in ways that our grandparents would have looked at and said, how in the world do you think that you've got time to spend your energies in that way? That's not an argument to say to go back to the 50s. It's just an evaluation of the time and the culture in which we live. So how do you and I not simply get caught up in that deluge and strive to discover and develop and use our spiritual gifts? Well, here's maybe a first question to ask. What do you want to see? What do you want to do or see done? In or through the body of Christ, what do you want to do or see get done? All right, here's the next thing. Ask to do it. Ask to do it. And see where that leads. It might be teaching. It might be meeting physical needs that you see in the lives of the body. It might be administration. It might be participating in various aspects of the corporate worship of God's people. I'm talking about instrumentation, choir, those kind of things. It might be serving in ways that you're facilitating and helping and keeping safe God's people as we gather on the Lord's Day or other times of the week. I mean, it might be any number of things. But I'll say it another way. Volunteer for everything unless you have a providential reason not to. Now, you might be saying, well, you know, everything. And, you know, one of the ways that I learned a lot about gifts going back to when I was 20 was, number one, I did everything, whether I was any good at it or not. Nursery, sign me up. Vacation Bible school, okay. Teaching, well, if you need somebody. I mean, it was all those things. If I was asked to do it, or somebody said, why don't you sign up, then I would do that. And, you know, over the years, what happens is you find out, you know what, sometimes you do something and you realize that seemed to go pretty well, and people are telling me that, and they're asking me to do it some more. And then there are other things that you do, and you just realize, I hated it, they hated it, everybody hated it. I don't know that the kingdom won't implode because I did that. And that's okay. You know, that's okay to recognize that sometimes the body of Christ confirms our gifts and asks us to continue to do it, and we see fruit. And sometimes it doesn't go well, and that's okay to realize that it doesn't go well. You know, we learn just as much from a door slammed in our face as we do from a door that gets opened and invites us in. And, you know, we all know what it's like to try something and just feel like we're terrible at it. But the church needs to be a safe place where we can fail at things. You know, we need to be a safe place as a family and a body where someone might say, okay, I'll give that a try, and then it doesn't go so well. But, you know, then we need to lovingly encourage and say, you know what, if somebody says, how do you think it went? I don't know that that's your gift. But, you know, there's some other things that I could really see you. You seem to really be gravitating toward and excelling in these other areas. And so all of those things are a blessing as we're able to see the things that God perhaps has not called us to do and the things that God has called us to do. And it may be that some of those things change a little bit in the seasons of life. You know, I think it's possible that the way we serve in our latter years may not be exactly the way we serve in our former years. Now, here's the thing. You still need to be serving. You know, if you're sitting here today and you've reached that age where you know, you've begun to get the Social Security check or whatever else it is. Your service is not over. You know, it's not a time for you to say, you know, I put in my time, now somebody else can do it. You need to be serving, but it may be that God is now moving you to serve in a different way than what you did 30 years ago. It might be that God is moving you to serve by really praying fervently for the needs of the saints and for the work of the kingdom. It might be that He's calling you to encourage others and lead others in that prayer. It might be that He's calling you to come alongside of younger families and you know, asking the question sometimes, are you doing okay? Because I was picking up on some tension. Well, you know, yeah, honestly, there's you know, this going on, there's that going on. And sometimes one of the most encouraging things to a younger family is to have faithful and godly older saints saying, you know, that's exactly where I was 20, 30, 40 years ago. That's not abnormal. That's not weird. That's understandable. You know, this is a time in your life when you just have these particular struggles and things going on, and you know, just trust me, it's not always going to be like that. You're going to get out the other side. And sometimes those things are the most encouraging things that younger saints can hear. So then finally, if we kind of realize there are these categories of gifts and we need to be discovering those gifts, then what does it look like to develop and devote those gifts? And, you know, I get, just to, for lack of a better way to say it, just do it unto the Lord. Offer those gifts up fervently unto the Lord and trust that the Lord will use those gifts. If you're gifted to teach, then enjoy that teaching. Now, understand that's going to mean working hard to do it faithfully. 25 years ago, when I was, you know, I was a single guy and I was teaching Sunday school in the church where I was a member and I was working. It was before I went to seminary. Well, you know what that looked like was one night a week. It didn't matter if friends called me up and said, we're going to go do this, that, or the other. Thursday night was my prep night. So there was one night a week that just had to be given over to my studying because that's what I needed to get ready for Sunday school. And then if somebody said, hey, we got a, you know, somebody's invited us to the lake house on, you know, to go over on Friday and come back Sunday night, you want to go? Well, that latitude, that freedom wasn't there. That wasn't a bad thing, but, you know, I had commitments of something that I had to do because I had committed to teach the Word and to teach the Scriptures. And so it's going to mean certain commitments. It's going to mean a certain amount of our time and our energies. And yet, if God's called you to teach, rejoice to do that unto the Lord. Let people know that you believe you're called and gifted to teach. And let those who are leading in Sunday school instruction and other areas of instruction in the church know that you're willing to be in the rotation. Maybe it's giving. Paul says those that are gifted at giving, give with liberality. Give with simplicity. Give with no other reason than to rejoice that the Lord would enable you to give and use you to meet that need. And delight to do that. You know what? Sometimes people, will somebody ever take advantage of it? Perhaps. Will somebody ever sometimes benefit from your liberality that really, probably they needed to be confronted rather than enabled, so to speak. But, you know, if we worry about those kind of things, then we'll never give. And if we give and then we want to see if someone will reciprocate, that's the word, then we're not really giving the way that God has called us to. He calls us to give with liberality and with simplicity and with joy before the Lord, not for recognition or for influence. With mercy, if it is to relieve physical burdens, if it is to help people when they're in a jam, then Paul says, do that with cheerfulness. Not in a way that's grumpy. I mean, I can, and it was funny now, but I remember my dad was pretty good if you messed up and got into a pinch, as long as you weren't being flagrantly irresponsible. But if you just messed up, then, you know, he was kind of, he was helpful. But he was probably going to gripe at you about it at the same time. You know, one night a friend of mine was leaving the house and he backed his car into the ditch at the end of our driveway. And so finally he came and he knocked on the door, and you know, I said, "What's up?" And he said, "Well, I've backed into the ditch at the end of the driveway." I'm like, "How did you do that? Our driveway's straight." And he said, "I don't need any attitude from you. I just need to get out of the ditch." And so, you know, we went out there and we tried and we could not get this car out of the ditch. And I finally said to my friend, I said, "I think we need to go get my dad." And he's like, "Oh, please, no, let's not go get your dad." He'd known my dad for years. He said, "You know, really," I said, "I'm telling you, I mean, he'll help us get out, but we got to go get dad." Well, you know, we did. I went upstairs and I woke my dad up and I said, "Dad, Lance's car's in the ditch at the end of the driveway." And my father's standard phrase was, "Well, let's go look at it." And so he got up and he put his pants on and we walked out. But, of course, he grumbled at us a little bit. You know, looking back on it, I think it was just entertainment for him. But he grumbled at us a little bit. Well, what Paul says here is those who are called to mercy do so with cheerfulness. And all of us developing and using our gifts, even when nobody seems to recognize our gifts, when nobody seems to join in those same gifts with us. Sometimes when we're involved in an area of ministry, we want everybody to get on board with that area of ministry. Well, again, God's given people different gifts, and so we're to offer them up to the Lord. Are you doing all you can to discover and develop and use your gifts? Someone said years ago, this person was an author, and they visited the church pastored by a prominent, well-known evangelical pastor in our day. And the person said, "The one thing you noted is that every member was a minister." It was an every member a minister type church. Everybody was doing something. Everybody was using their gifts. And so are you doing all you can to discover and develop and use your God-given gifts? And, you know, for those of us that serve in office, it's a reminder that we always need to be encouraging people to use their gifts. We always need to be helping people to discover and cultivate their gifts. On the other hand, for all of us as Christians, we need to be zealously striving to discover and develop and use our God-given gifts. Are you? Are you doing all you can to develop, to discover and develop and use your God-given gifts? Let's pray together. Almighty God in heaven, we do thank you again that you have given gifts to the body of Christ. Lord, we do plead that you would show us what those gifts are. Lord, for some of us, maybe it means even just trying something. Lord, show us what you would have us try. And then make it clear to us, Lord, whether or not that is an area where you would have us pursue and develop gifts, or whether it might be somewhere else. And Lord, use us to encourage one another. Lord, we're not all equally gifted, but we should all be encouragers. Lord, use us to encourage one another as we see each other using our gifts. And again, Lord, we pray that we would be increasingly a body of Christ where others might come and recognize that everyone serves faithfully in the work of the kingdom, each one using his or her Spirit-given gifts. Father, we pray that you would do these things for your glory in Christ, the one for whom all of these gifts exist. Through him we pray. Amen.